This episode of the Toy Photographers Podcast is brought to you by Spider Holster. Spider Holster provides revolutionary ergonomic solutions for photographers from all walks of life. Their products help against neck, shoulder, and back strain while providing lightning-fast, quick-draw access to your camera. They recently sent me a Spiderlite holster and Spiderlite hand strap for my DSLR, and I will never go on a shoot without them again. You can check out my review of their products on our website, toyphotographers.com. We'll also be holding a raffle for two lucky winners to take home their very own Spiderlite hand strap. All you have to do to enter is just leave a review for this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen. I'll announce the winners on next week's show. But wait, that's not all. The Spider Holster team have created a special offer just for toy photographers. Use the promo code TOYPHOTO at checkout and save 20% site-wide. That's spiderholster.com. Use the promo code TOYPHOTO at checkout.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil.
You're listening to the Toy Photographers Podcast, the official podcast of toyphotographers.com. I'm James Garcia, and on this show, I talk to photographers around the world who are turning Lego, action figures, miniatures, custom creations, and more into amazing works of art. This week, I'm joined by Shelley Corbett and Brett Wilson to talk about the new LEGO Ideas Voltron set. As you may have already seen on the blog, we were approached by LEGO to photograph and review the set before release. Shelley and Brett asked me, Jan and Lee, Four Bricks Tall, and Father's Figures to help with the project, and we had a fantastic time. In addition to our written review, I thought it would be fun to speak with the team for the podcast as well. Due to some scheduling conflicts, I was only able to talk to Brett and Shelley, but we met up last night to discuss our thoughts on the project, what we thought of the new Voltron set, how a product shoot like this differs from our normal photography work, and more. Due to some audio issues, I had to cut out the beginning chunk of this interview, where we discussed our history with Voltron and some of our thoughts on the build itself. I apologize for any audio issues in this episode, but do hope that you guys enjoy this deep dive into our Voltron project. The big reason we were given this set was to photograph it. How did you guys feel? First of all, Shelley, I know that you pulled it up. We were given a creative brief for this project by LEGO, because we weren't just given these for free to have and do whatever we wanted. We were given these for a specific purpose. Can you guys talk about what that purpose is? I don't know how much of this is secretive or how much we can talk about yet. And then what kind of was our creative brief that we were given by LEGO?
The engagement assets, which is our task, was to create X number of realistic photos that should focus on bringing the model into real life situations, robotic inspired, space inspired, have fun, right? They always say that, have fun, ha. Which always makes me laugh because I'm like super serious about my toy photography. So having fun is never really part of my agenda, but okay. And and we were supposed to try to create images that are specific to a topic like a holiday that they could use throughout the next year or two, because my understanding is most of the LEGO Ideas sets are going to be on the shelf for 2 years. I know that's not always accurate. So they have a little bit of a life. So they'll use these photos off and on for at least the next year. So they asked for holidays, which I think we did a few of them.
Yeah, it's one of those things I wish we had had more time, because that, you know, it's like I have ideas for Christmas sets or for Christmas photos or other holidays, and I was just like, I don't have all the time in the world to get these done before our deadline. And part of that is just because of how massive this thing is. I had an idea to do like a Santa sleigh, and instead of reindeer, it's all the lions. And I was like, it's going to take me forever to set that up, though, and to create like a little snowy scene and stuff. So it's one of those things where the holidays I was really intrigued by, but I didn't really have enough time, I think, to dive into all of the ideas I wanted to do. Did you guys find that to be the case too?
Coming up with ideas was great. I think I wrote about it in the blog, every time I get one of these projects, the weather turns to absolute rubbish for me. So I think I had one weekend, two mornings, I drove hour round trips only to get to one location that I'd found that I wanted to shoot and set, about to be set up, and then the heavens opened and it poured rain. So coming up with ideas was great, but the weather didn't cooperate with me. One of the other things that was in the creative brief was we were it was requested that we didn't have the set in contact with sand or in contact with water, which, you know, I understand that's the rules. But one of the other ones that came out is because this set was so new and so secretive, we were asked to try and keep it as secret as possible when we were shooting it outdoors in the public. And as we mentioned, this thing's bloody huge. So to try and do that was a real challenge. I, you know, most of my shooting was done either somewhere very secluded or it was done very early in the morning to try and limit the number of people that might see this big beast out in the open and start asking questions about it.
Yeah, Shelley, you traveled to do your shoot too. Did you have to do the same thing, kind of hide Voltron when you were setting him up and everything?
Well, the biggest travel I did was 90 minutes up into the mountains, and he was in my backpack when we headed up the mountain. So, but when I took him to the beach at sunset, I just went off to a secluded part of the beach and set him up. But even there, people wandered over and they're like, "Oh, what's that?" I had several people I was fielding questions, and I just totally minimized it. It's just a build, no big deal, just a Lego set, nothing. I just really didn't even engage them. That seemed to solve that pretty well. But yeah, he really does. You stick him out anywhere and he's going to attract attention.
Yeah, not only because of the size, but the colors. And it's a very colorful, big Lego set for sure. Let's talk about the actual shooting too, because obviously this thing is a really, really cool set. It was really fun to come up with ideas to do it. But at the same time, I know that not only the three of us, but the other three photographers that we had as well also left frustrated at times. This thing is really cool, but it comes with limitations as well. What were some of the biggest things that you guys faced while taking this thing out and trying to get some photos for it?
Well, I have two sort of areas of difficulty. Is one, they give you the set, you know it's coming, you have to wait for it to come out of Billund, and then it travels halfway across the world, it comes to you, and then you have, in this case, we actually had a fairly luxurious 3 weeks to play with it, which, considering some of our past sets, it's been a lot shorter. But even in that amount of time to live with something and try to create a story with it, it's not enough time. So James, I'm with you. Like, it's really hard to get into the Christmas spirit when it's 90 degrees outside and sunny. So I have all sorts of photos in my head that I still want to go get. And then dragging that sucker around. Oh my word. His bottom legs are amazing. The blue and the yellow legs are, those lions are fabulous. But every photo I saw of him that I really wanted to emulate, those legs are a wider stance. One goes forward, or one of the knees is cocked, and they're bent a little bit, all of that. I couldn't do any of that. So I was really frustrated with trying to get him in anything other than just like a warrior pose.
I guess the biggest stumbling block I had was the fact that, you know, I'm someone who started out shooting minifigures and is slowly progressing into shooting more, you know, 6-inch toys, and I'm still struggling to get my head around that.
Yeah, so me too.
To go from minifigure to 6-inch and then to this big beast, that was something that I had a real hard time getting my head around. Then, of course, there's the limited movement with him. Like, there would have been a lot of shots that I would have loved to do if there was a little bit more, I guess, lateral arm movement or a little bit of, you know, leg movement as well. But I understand the mechanics of him probably limit what he can and can't do in terms of movement.
Yeah, I would say that too. The articulation was probably one of the most frustrating things for me when I was shooting. Like you said, Shelley, the legs. Every shot of Voltron, like you said, his legs are kind of flared out and he's in this really cool pose, and you literally can't recreate that iconic pose with this Lego set, at least without, you know, taking one of the, I tried taking off the yellow leg and kind of turning it so that it did flare out a little bit. And then I put the shield in front of where you could see the disconnect and tried to do some things like that to cheat it a little bit. One of my shots, the one that we posted on the blog a couple days ago, he's like sitting on a stump and the legs are kind of sitting more naturally. And that I totally had to just take off and really, really, really carefully click into some of the leg joints, but not all of them. There are ways to try to mess with it, but it is really limiting when it comes to articulation. And I found that I was carrying mine around in a big tote bag just because it was the only thing I had besides like a backpack that would really fit him. And he just kept coming apart in the bag. Pieces would fall off of the legs. The paws on the lions are really flimsy, so those would kind of fall off. The sword would kind of break into a couple pieces. So then I'd sit down to set up my shot, pull them out, and then I have to reassemble pieces or remember where something goes. It's like, well, where's this little gray 2x2 tile go? I don't know where this is supposed to click, you know?
So yeah, I learned my lesson the first time I took him out. I actually had to protect any breakages. Hmm. And the first time I went out to shoot him, I like opened up the plastic container and there were bits everywhere in there. And I was like, oh, no. So the next, every time I took him out, I took all the instruction books with me.
Oh.
Just in case I had to do any running repairs.
So smart. I was up on Mount Rainier and for some reason, mosquitoes are really bad this year. So we're up on Mount Rainier. We're on the side of the path, beautiful mountain in the background. It's just awesome. Being eaten alive by mosquitoes. And Law had gone up the trail, found a better spot. And I picked him up and the yellow lion just dropped off and just broke. I'm like, ah! And Law's like, he said he could just literally see the steam coming out of my ears. And I'm like, and I still don't have any. Didn't show up, but oh my god. and I lost one of the paws up on Cowboy Mountain because I got home and there was no paw on the green lion, so luckily I had some spare parts, not quite the right color, but at least you got a leg again. Jesus.
Yeah, I have a similar story with the legs. I finished building it at home and I went to show my, and she was sitting on the couch, and I went to show my wife, and I was holding him kind of just by the waist. And my hands were on his waist, and so the legs were kind of dangling. And I was showing it to her, and I was like, "Look how cool this is!" And both legs fell off, and just hit her feet. And she's like, "Oh my god, ow! This thing is so heavy." It fell playing around with this set. I wonder how playable Voltron is going to be for like little kids or something that might roughhouse with him, because pieces do come off kind of easily, just because of the way it's all has to be pieced together. So yeah, the cautionary tale for everybody. Watch out for those legs falling off.
Yeah, especially on the green and the red guy. But I thought that you and Janin had both done really excellent jobs of getting movement into your photos with some of the creative bending that you had done. I thought they really awesome job.
Cool, thank you. Yeah, I found too with the head. The head just swivels like left and right. It doesn't move up or down or anything. And so I just took out the Technic piece that connects the head to the rest of the body. And I just put some sticky tack under there instead, so I could kind of move the head and point it upwards if I wanted to or stuff like that. So I'm glad that kind of worked. And yeah, I was really impressed with the shots that Janin and David came up with. I was talking to Janin when we interviewed when I did my interview with him a couple weeks ago. After we started recording, I was just like, hey, dude, how's the Voltron thing going? Because I'm really struggling. And he gave me some pointers on like, yeah, you know, if you remove the legs or you move some pieces, you can get some more articulation. So I was really happy that he gave me that tip. And he wrote, too, in that post that something that I ran into, too, when trying to make composite shots, that Voltron is so big that you can't put him on wires or anything. So it's really difficult to get even... shots of him that you can Photoshop into more like space shots or something like that. He had a creative solution of putting Voltron on top of a clear vase or something. And I thought that was really brilliant. And I love the shot that he came up with for that.
Yeah. I resisted stringing him up in any way and getting him to fly, because I took one look at how heavy he was and said, no.
Yeah.
And I think other stumbling blocks is, I mean, in the past when I've been conversing with Lego, one recurring theme that comes up, there's another project that we're working on at the moment, and without giving away too much, one of the questions that came from one of the other photographers was, can we include other parts from other sets in this shoot? And the reply from Lego was, yes, but we might not use them because we don't want to mislead people that they think those parts come from these sets. So in terms of tweaking Voltron too much beyond the build and what his the build's capabilities were, I was just wary of doing that because I thought that potentially Lego might say, well, yeah, it's a great shot, but we can't let people think that that's what this does. However, that's something that I'm looking forward to doing now that it's outside of the project scope.
Yeah, let's
trying to get some bended knee, down on one knee type poses out of it. Whether I have to Frankenstein rebuild him or whether I just have to be very careful with where he has his shield and where he has his sword to cover either non-joins or very bastardized joints of those joints.
Yeah, absolutely. That gives me a good segue because this is a very different shoot than what we would normally do just day to day as toy photographers doing a product shoot like this. You guys have done this before. This is the first time I've ever done it. What have you guys found to be the big difference between doing like a sponsored product shoot like this and your own photography just for yourself?
They're bloody hard.
They are.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I honestly, looking through my photos that I submitted, I think my photos suffer somewhat from shooting that because my focus is on the product and not on the actual photo. So, yeah, it's an interesting process. I think it gives you it gives me a greater appreciation of people who do product photography because it's really difficult to take a photo that captures what the product is but also have that artistic side to it as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I struggle with producing what I think Lego will like and what I will like.
Yeah, they say go out and have fun, enjoy yourself, do whatever you want, but no alcohol, no sand, no water, no guns, no excessive violence, at no pyrotechnics. That's a lot of fun stuff that you can't do.
Yeah, and no other competing IPs.
Both in this project and in past, is don't even think about introducing any element from any other set because the not a cookie, not a like this one would have been so fun to have made little paladins to go with them would have been so cute. And like, no, I didn't even go down that road because I knew that would be nothing but problems.
Yeah, I ran into that myself when coming up with, because especially my photography style involves a lot of accessories or funny situations or a mix of IPs and stuff. So really trying to think only of the set itself and how do I photograph Voltron all by himself or the lions themselves without adding in those other elements or other pieces or accessories or anything like that. I cheated a little bit a couple times. I throw in a cat here and there, or I did one photo with Lego Benny and they shot that down because he's a competing IP, which is a bummer because I really was happy with that shot. But yeah, it really makes you, it's very limiting in that sense that you really do have to rethink your whole strategy of how you usually shoot something. But yes, go out there and have fun and do whatever you want.
Some of my favorite photos of Voltron were taken with the Lens Baby, and which really blows out the edges. And there's a lot of blur and there's no detail except in like a really specific part of the frame. And even those, I'm pretty sure they will reject just because they're way too arty. I think that's what I've learned doing this, that we're, I don't even know what number we're on. It's like at this point, You just do your best. Don't worry about it too much. Shoot the product. Try to have fun, and don't worry about if they like them or not. It's their choice.
I don't think whether they like it or not. I mean, we always get really positive feedback from the guys, especially Daryl that we deal with at Lego Ideas, and Connie. they love everything we do. It's just a matter of whether it gets used or not.
Yeah, when we did Tron, the team that we put together for that was amazing. The photos were just so fabulous, but most of them were left behind because they took Tron too far outside of that universe, and whoever owns the IP wasn't comfortable with that. So you just never know. They give you like I read the brief to you. That wasn't much to go on. Go have fun. But we just keep learning over time. There's all sorts of hidden rules we don't know yet that we're learning.
Yeah, and there's just a different purpose for doing photos like these than there is just traditionally or what we're used to producing. So something like this, yeah, like you said, we really do have to think about what does the client want and what are these photos going to be used for. And ultimately, it's just to show off the product itself, not have any big artistic messaging behind it or too many creative deviations from the universe or whatever it may be. So when we're doing product photography, I definitely learned that this time, because like I said, this is the first time I was dealing with this, was just, yeah, how do you highlight the product for exactly what it is and sell that to Lego and ultimately to the people that are going to want to buy it in the future. So I really did have to kind of set a lot of my ideas aside for later, for after this project is done, and say, okay, without all of the usual crutches I give myself, what can I do with this set? What kind of situations can I put the lines in? And I actually found that it quite limiting and kind of hard to come up with ideas just based on the set itself. Just like I said, because of my usual style just isn't like that. So yeah, it can be, it was a challenge for sure.
So do you think you're going to shoot it Voltron again, James?
Good question. Yeah, that was one of the questions I submitted to you guys before this.
No, I just read it and I thought I'd get in first.
Yeah, good call. It's funny. No one usually asks me questions on the podcast. He's a really amazing, amazing build. I'm super impressed with the design. But as a photographer, I found myself really, really frustrated throughout the process. Just for the various articulation problems we've talked about or the limitations that I had with the creative brief that we were given. And part of me was really glad when the deadline hit and I was like, oh, good. Voltron's done. I can put him on the shelf. He's on the shelf now behind me, just next to my Iron Giant. And they look cool together. And that's probably, he's probably going to collect dust there for a little while, if I'm being quite honest. It's one of those things where Part of it is just because it's so out of the scope of what I'm used to doing. Brett, you mentioned how you only really started with minifigures and are now moving to 6-inch. I've been doing that myself. I've talked about it a few times on the podcast. This is the biggest toy I think I've ever owned, let alone photographed. It's bigger than the Ghostbusters firehouse I have. It's bigger than any Lego modular building. It's bigger than the Mondo Iron Giant I have. It was a big challenge for me to shoot this thing because I never shoot anything this big, and all my lenses were set up or my camera settings were set up or my comfort zone at least was set up to be super, super close to my subject. And I kept finding myself having to really back up and rethink my shots. And so I think it's one of those things where it was way out of my comfort zone to do this. And I'm not exactly excited to jump right back into doing that again with Voltron. One of those things, I think I'll probably shoot the lions by themselves a lot more than I'll shoot the robot itself.
I'm excited to shoot him again. I just need the weather to turn. I've already talked to Daryl about going back in when the weather turns and do some things for the fall in the winter and present it to him. So yeah, I'm definitely taking that sucker out again. And I learned from looking at David's images, I think that's one of the reasons why Brett and I chose David Valdez, Father's Figures, to be part of the team was because he's already has experience with 6 and 12 inch figures and doing larger, more action shots. And he really did bring a nice viewpoint to Voltron. And for me, just looking at his images, I learned a better way to approach the set. I only had gone to a 50mm, which was great, but I really wish I had gone even wider. So the project I'm working on now as also not as big as Voltron, but certainly large, awkward, big builds. And I went to a 24 and man, am I happy with that. So I want to take the 24 out with Voltron and even maybe take the 14 out and photograph him. I think it'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah, and I think, and it's, I mean, I haven't taken out the ship in the bottle because it's not really something that I would ever shoot again. And I haven't taken the Tron set out and shot again with it, although I would like to. But I think every time one of these projects finishes, you have a big sigh of relief that it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the idea of going out and shooting all the things that I would have loved to have shot for this project, but knew that it would have got knocked back. So, as I said, I really want to explore how much I can push the movement in that, in Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, as you said, like the, you know, combining different IPs and different franchises. I mean, to me, I don't know, there's a little bit of sort of stoic seriousness about the Voltron set, which I think lends itself to injecting a lot of humor, like tongue-in-cheek humor into the shots, which I would love to do. And whether that is, you know, combining different IPs, I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to shooting Voltron without, I guess, the restrictions of the project brief.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have kind of pumped me back up wanting to do that again.
Would you like to answer that question again, James?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll edit my first answer out.
It's pretty difficult answering all these questions, isn't it, mate?
This one was so much easier than Ship in a Bottle. That was hard.
But I think part of the battle with the Ship in the Bottle one, Shelley, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think because that was one of our first projects with LEGO Ideas, I think there was a lot of unknowns there on both sides. And it was a learning experience as we went. I mean, they'd never sort of reached out and asked a toy photography group to take one of the sets and go and do stuff with it. And so we learned stuff, what we could and couldn't do, and they learned stuff about what was acceptable and what wasn't along the way. So, yeah, that was part of the battle with that one. But, I mean, you know, good things came out, even though there was some curveballs and some headaches along the process of that project. It was good because we both learned from it and understand these projects a lot better now.
Oh, yes, it was a super steep learning curve. I was just thinking about that set, and every time you touch the neck, it would fall off, and then whatever you had inside would fall apart, and I had to carry it around in a banker box as delicately as possible because it was always falling apart. So taking that up into the snow was a real pain in the ass compared to Voltron, which I could just wrap in bubble wrap, throw in my backpack, and hike up a mountain. I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, he's a lot more sturdy than the Ship in the Bottle for sure. Even though he did have his own little like paw problems and stuff like that, he is really bulky and sturdy, and so I could see it.
Yeah, but you're only replacing one little paw. You weren't picking up 300 Trans Blue one by one cards off the floor every time the ship decided to disintegrate.
Yeah, that's true. So would you guys have purchased and photographed this set had it not been a project that was given to us?
Nope.
Cool. Me neither.
Okay. Would I have purchased it? Possibly. I don't know. I'm a sucker for a big box, and I'm a sucker for a little bit of childhood nostalgia. As I said, I remember watching Voltron as a kid. Would I have purchased it with the idea of, hey, that's going to be a cool thing to photograph? Probably not. But as you said, James, I mean, I can nearly see Voltron over your shoulder in the video here. I can see the Iron Giant. There he is. Voltron looks bloody cool sitting on a shelf.
He does, yeah.
He looks really cool sitting on a shelf. So, yeah, possibly I would have purchased, but yeah, I wouldn't have had a look at that set on a shelf in a toy shop and gone, hey, that's going to be a rad set to shoot, and I would have been right.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm kind of in the middle of you guys, where I don't think, to be honest, I think I would have added Voltron to my Lego wish list, and he would have just sat there forever. because there are some other big sets that I really do want specifically to photograph that I haven't purchased yet. So I think that Voltron probably would have made his way to the bottom of my list. And then over time, I just kind of, the excitement would have gone away, or new sets are coming out every week, it feels like. So I think eventually I would have probably forgotten about Voltron, but I am glad to have done this project. It was a really, really fun experience. I thank you both for asking me to do it. It was an amazing opportunity, and I'm really glad to have done it and learned a lot of lessons. And now I do have a really cool Voltron robot that is an awesome display piece, will probably lead to some fun photographs later in the future. Looks really badass on my shelf.
James, your photos are awesome. So I'm so glad you were part of Team Paladin. I have to say, though, even though my initial answer was immediately no, there's no way I would have been attracted to that set, I have to say that while I was building it, I gave it away. Probably not my smartest move. I'm kind of regretting that, but I know that I'm going to have visitation rights, so it's not the end of the world. I fell in love with it. He's awesome. I love the TV show. I love the photos I took. I'm looking forward to taking more with him. I'm going to take him snowshoeing as soon as the snow falls, and have some more adventures we will have together. So I think, and let's face it, most sets, when you buy them, you're never going to photograph them. You're just going to build them and sit them on a shelf. So if that's what you're going to do, might as well be something cool ass like a Voltron.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say go for it.
Yeah. And like Brett mentioned earlier, this build was one of the few builds, at least in recent memory, where I finished it and was like, oh man, that's it, huh? Like, the build itself is worth the purchase. I think the ingenuity that went behind it, the amount of detail in each of the different lines, the differences between all of them, how cool Voltron is once you do form Voltron and make him a big thing. I think that all of the frustrations aside with photographing it, I think this is definitely a set worth getting. If you're into Lego, into building Lego, and collect Lego, I think it's an amazing set, one of the coolest Lego Ideas sets. And we are doing a giveaway for Voltron. I don't think we've announced it yet officially on the blog.
No. When's this going live, James? Tomorrow?
In a couple hours, yeah. A
couple of hours? Crikey. Okay.
Well, people don't. This people week listen to
we
it.
We will be announcing the giveaway because, as Shelley mentioned earlier on, Daryl and the Lego Ideas set, the Lego Ideas team offered us a bunch of Voltrons to shoot, and we selected our photographers, but we also were lucky enough to be given one extra set that we're going to be giving away. So keep an eye out on the blog, and there'll be details on that, and also details posted on social media about the giveaway that we have to so someone else can own this wonderful build and this wonderful display piece, and maybe they might understand a bit more about our frustrations that we're talking about.
and our passion and our love.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's not all negative. I mean, a little bit of frustration makes it all the more memorable. I know I will never forget my time on two different mountains trying to avoid the mosquitoes and not fall off a mountain, and amazing adventures with Voltron. And I have the photos to prove it. So that was worth the price.
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, I mean, you know, despite all those little hiccups along the way, he's a magnificent display piece. And I walk into my Lego room or toy room now and see him standing on the top shelf, and I smile when I see him, whereas the ship in the bottle, every time I walked in there and saw that, I used to curse at it. So, maybe we painted a more negative picture of this project and this set than is actual the reality.
I think everyone did an amazing job, and now we're just waiting to hear back from Lego which ones they're going to use, which we won't know for a while. But everybody did such a great job. So yeah. David, Janin, and Anna, myself, James, you, Brett. I mean, Lego got their money's worth.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to say, I'm talking to you two now, but yeah, we did have Janin, David, and Anna helping us out on this. Just due to scheduling and how last minute this was, they weren't able to be on the podcast. I would have loved to have them on here too. But I love all of the shots that they came up with. I love the shots that you guys came up with, and just working on this project together, even though it was mostly through email threads and little hints about what we were doing. You know, I think we were all kind of secretive about our shots until the very end, but just working on this all together as Paladins was really, really fun. And I definitely want to give a shout out to them because their shots were awesome. And if you want to hear their thoughts, you can check out our review on toyphotographers.com. So do you guys have anything else to say about Voltron, or do you think we got it all?
I think we've got it all, apart from, as we just mentioned, to keep an eye out on the blog and on social media for listeners' chances to potentially own this magnificent beast themselves.
So many giveaways. Do we want to talk about that that we really want to engage our community, and that part of that is giving people opportunities to do this, because it is a challenge, and that's part of being part of the community, is having opportunities like this.
Well, I think, you know, anyone who's listening to this and is curious, or is maybe on the fence as to why they would want to participate more in the community, whether that's jumping on the G+ community and participating in the challenges, or whether that's, you know, offering up their thoughts and their words and their images for a guest blog post. These offers, when they come to us, part of our, I guess, very loose selection criteria is somewhat based on people's engagement within the community. Like, you know, we offer these opportunities, which, you know, come to us quite regularly, to people who are active in the community, who participate in the community.
And we don't pick the best photographers either. I think we pick a nice range of people who are not necessarily beginners, but who have people, I guess we're looking for people who have a distinct style.
Yeah. We look at what the subject matter is and try and match that to a photographer and a photographer's style. So, you know, we're not always going for the most well-known toy photographers or Lego photographers out there. We're going for ones that we think are going to be a good fit with the group that we've selected and a good fit with the set that we're going to be shooting.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I love that you guys are always consciously looking for people in the community that are active, that do have unique voices, that do have something to say or to offer, either through words or through photography. Multiple people I've talked to so far on the podcast have all been really impressed with that in the community and how you guys manage things. I think it would be really easy for you to just seek out the people that have the most followers or who are quote unquote the best photographers. But I love that you guys are always searching for unique voices and people that you think would be a good fit for a particular project or just somebody who might have the most fun with it. I think that's awesome. And it just shows how inclusive the community really is. And that the more active you are and the more you are plugged into it, the more opportunities can come your way just by being a part of it and having fun with us.
Well, that was what was fun about Tron. It was like Tom Milton does those amazing blurry photos, and I could just see Tron through his eyes. And with David and the Voltron, it just seemed like such a good fit. And now we know it was, because the images totally blew me away. So the next one that we're working on is a lot of fun, and it'll be interesting to see what these guys come up with for this one. I'm pretty excited.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at @_toyphotographers_. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.